say thank you. As we come, Father, we humble ourselves afresh. In particular, I humble myself and I strip myself, Lord God, of every confidence I have in my preparation, what I've prepared. All that doesn't matter now. I beg you, I beseech you to help me to bring forth this word, Lord, that I believe you've given unto me faithfully, diligently. I ask you to anoint myself afresh, my tongue afresh. Make my tongue like the pen of a ready writer to write your will and this word upon the hearts of your people, so that as I speak, Lord God, the word will go forth in power, in accuracy and simplicity, yet in the comfort and the love of the Holy Spirit, that everywhere this word goes in all the earth, Lord God, your power will follow it to cause men to be hearers as well as doers of the word, and so be blessed in all that they do in the name of Jesus. I also ask for mercy to be precise, to be, Lord, concise, not to say things unnecessary, so that as I speak, I'll bring forth out of this word things both old and new, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In the name of Jesus, I ask that as I speak, your power and your presence will also fill the atmosphere to break every yoke, meet every need, causing, Lord God, our minds to be more enlightened by the revelation knowledge of your word, our wills to be more humble, therefore submitted to your will, O God, and also our emotions to be controlled, further tempered by the power of the fruit of the Spirit, especially your love, in the name of Jesus. And Heavenly Father, I also duck under the anointing of my fathers, the mantles, Lord God, I duck myself under them, under their covering and their mantles I take upon me. I'm asking, Lord, for mercy to be a faithful steward of this word. As I speak, Lord God, let me speak and let the word go forth as a river of life, refreshing to all that hear it, myself included, but especially unto them, that as they eat and drink of this vine which they have planted over the years, they will be abundantly satisfied with the travail of their souls in me. I thank you, Lord, because you will not lie to David. You're not a man to lie. You're the God of our help, and therefore that which you have spoken, you will surely do, and exceeding abundantly above all we can ask. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. And the people say. And so I prepared it and didn't know I was going to give it this week, but here we are today. Amen. And I believe it bears special significance to all of us here in this church as a part of the Man-Child Company. The Zion Church is about to receive the outpouring of the Spirit without measure. It's very, very pertinent because it has to do with fathers. Amen. And we, their children, of course, who are waiting under the covering of the fathers for that outpouring. Amen. But I also believe it's more for the body of Christ. Thank God we're in this house. By the grace of God, we are very well taught. And that's just the truth. Amen. But I believe that this word goes out will not just be a blessing to us, but even more so to the body of Christ out there. So we're going to start, and I trust the Lord to help me to be as concise as possible, because my goodness, it's such a privilege indeed. And the great word that the Lord is bringing today has started to bring through Pastor Colin, and I trust will help me to add to in a way we can all perceive and understand and flow with. But let me start with the scripture. And the scripture is in John chapter 5, and it's in verse 19. John chapter 5, verse 19, please. Thank you. Somehow John just disappeared from my book here, but then it's okay. All right, here it is. Now, let's read together. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, 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 verily means here. This is a revelation. This is the truth. Amen. You won't believe this, but it's true. So, let's read it like that. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Everybody say seeth. Then doeth. Say seeth. Then doeth. You see, and then you do. You see what the Father does, and then you do likewise. You can do nothing of yourself. Say amen, somebody. Amen. That's the truth. That is the ultimate truth that God is bringing to us today. What you see of the Father, I put seeing, you know, letters there, of the Father is what you will ultimately do, no matter what you profess, or more important, no matter who you say your Father is. I'll explain myself. Now, let's back up a bit. The Lord Jesus Christ says, I can do nothing of myself. I do not believe that Jesus could do nothing of himself. Hello, somebody. When he said these words, he had the fullness of the power of the Spirit without measure upon him. Hello? Am I right? So, in other words, he had the power, he had the Spirit. Hey, hello. He was the Son of God. If he wanted to, he could have commanded anything, and it had to be done because the power was upon him. Hello? I don't believe he was completely powerless to do the anything. There are things he could have done. He could have done in the flesh. God forbid. He would not do that. What I believe he was telling us here was that he had learned. How many remember when he first started his ministry? Not before. When he started to be about the Father's business. What did he do? At the age of 12, a young boy, lots of zeal, not much wisdom. That's why the Bible says he increased in wisdom, which he didn't have all wisdom at 12. And that's why, like any young fellow who's you know, been given a word in a heart, just like a young Christian, sometimes we all have a lot of zeal, but the wisdom to balance the zeal may not be there yet. Hello? So what did he do? Went to the temple, forgot about his father and mother and his family, and they went 3 days' journey, had to come back. That's 6 days in both directions. Looking for him in the temple. He said, I thought, you know, I must be about my father's business. But the Bible says he submitted himself. And from that moment, the Bible says he increased in wisdom and grew in stature because he was subject to them. I believe with all my heart that from that moment on, he started to learn how not to do things of himself. He didn't sin, though. He didn't sin. It wasn't a sin. But it was zeal that the wisdom of God was not yet there to balance. So I believe in those silent years, God says he would wake him up every morning, and he was not rebellious. In other words, he was learning all those years, which you don't know much about, to learn how to do things according to the will of the Father, and to do nothing except he sees God do it. That's the whole essence of those silent years before we now see him, and the heavens are opened, and the Bible says the Spirit came upon him, and he said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am not just pleased, but well pleased. Why? Because he had learned at that time not to do things that he did not ask from the Father. Hello, somebody. We're going to have to learn to do the same thing. I believe it was more of an attitude. Amen? With the full anointing, they have done anything. And how do we know this? Give me John chapter 5, verse 30. Quickly. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, somebody. We're talking about discerning fathers. What a wonderful word this morning. Thank God. John chapter 5, verse 30. Very familiar verse, but it's so buttressed what I'm saying. It says here, I cannot... He said, repeat the same thing again. Is it that he can't do? No, he had the power. He had the power. He said, I can of my own self do nothing. Now, check this out. As I hear, I do what? And, in other words, he hears all kinds of things. And my judgment is just why? Because I seek not my own will. Acknowledge that he had a will. Acknowledge he had a will. But the will of the Father which has sent me. In other words, my will is subject to the will of the Father. If I have an opinion and the Father's will is different, I submit to the Father. Hello, Gethsemane did not do what he did in Gethsemane on that day alone. It was he couldn't have done it. It would have been too late to say in the face of certain death on the cross, not my will, but thy will be done. It wasn't easy for him. And guess what? He had 7 legions of angels to command to do what he wanted. But he never did. So I submit to your will. The reason he did nothing all by himself was because he was willingly subject to the Father in everything. Amen? And what he did was based upon his assessment or his discerning by the Spirit of what it was the Father was wanting to do. What he saw the Father do by revelation. Hello, somebody. The subjection of his will to God's will was voluntary. And we have to get to that point too. Under subjection of the Father. And guess what? Folks, we're in the season of the release of the Spirit of our ministry. It's imminent. And we need to imbibe, to not just imbibe, but to cultivate this attitude of judging everything we hear according to the what is the will of the Father's. I'm changing from singular now. We're talking about Father first. Now we're talking about Father's. Which means there is the Father and then there are fathers. And we subject ourselves willingly only to do what we see the fathers do. Oh, we'll get back to that later. But the point here is that everything the Lord Jesus did, he did based on what the Father showed him in the place of prayer, what he could see or discern. Amen? Now, remember again, you have to remember this is very important, that the Lord Jesus Christ was not here on earth as God. He was here like you and I as a man, anointed with the Holy Spirit, albeit the full measure, which he grew to inherit like we are about to. So he had to learn also, like we said. The Bible says he learned obedience by the things he suffered. He too had to learn it. He had to grow. The Bible says he increased in wisdom and stature and in favor. At no time, and he will never do this, but I want to bring it out. At no time could the Lord Jesus afford to say, now I've got the power. Hallelujah. I can do it now, Lord Jesus. Lord, Heavenly Father, I got it. I know how to do it now. So just step back a bit. Let me do it. Hello, somebody. Sounds like a little child sitting on his father's lap in the car. Sometimes you shouldn't do it, but some people do. And I used to do it when the man was very young. I can't sit on my lap now, but in those days, he would sit on my lap. And I'll be driving, and he'll take the wheel. And I'll be moving, and he'll try to do his own thing. Now, can you imagine a child in that position? Saying, Father, Daddy, I got it. SLD, pedalo. That's what we do sometimes. Hello, somebody. I got it now. I can do it. Daddy, leave the same way. Daddy, push him out. I say, okay. Was in your leg, my Felicity. Both of you will crash. Hello, that's what we do sometimes. We get a little bit of power, or maybe the gifts of the Spirit come in. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And we say we are okay now, Lord. We got the gifts of the Spirit. People are falling on the power. The Spirit of wisdom is there. My revelation knowledge is there. You know, we got the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge. We may even have discerning of spirits. Amen. You got prophecy. Hey, Lord, stay out. We got it now. We understand what to do. God says, God, in the book, said, Revelation, they locked the door out of his own church. He says, behold, I stand at the door. How can the owner of the church be outside the church? Somebody usurped the power. And what happens now when they try and do it and it doesn't work anymore after a while? You know, the thing will peter out and they go to Endo. Now look at Prussia. But because the Lord Jesus humbled himself, and he became well pleased. And so the Father loved him, the Bible says. Oh, I hope you're getting this. This is prophetic. But I said, give me John 5:20. He said, Baba, my Father loved him and showed him all things that he himself doeth and showed it even greater. Hello, somebody. The Lord Jesus said, you will do the works that I did and greater. Why? This is why. Because the Father will love you and show you the things that he doeth, and then he will show you greater things, just like he showed the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So we too have this in our before us. And the Lord Jesus Christ, it's amazing how, you know, by the revelation he entered into the innermost counsels of God. He didn't do it as God. I hope you're getting this. He did it as a man, anointed by the Spirit, and he had been doing it before he got the full measure. Help me, Lord. Oh, Lord. Anyway, now, this issue of father or no father was a big issue in Israel in those days. Amen? And the Lord Jesus had this running battle with the Jews concerning fatherhood, who their father was. Amen? The Jews liked to believe that Abraham was their father and they were the children of Abraham. And every time they had this running battle with the Lord Jesus Christ. One of my favorite chapters in the Bible is John chapter 8. And we're going to go there now and see what the Lord will show us from there. Are we getting something out of this? We're talking about discerning fathers. John 8, chapter 8. Let's start from verse 31. John 8, 31. Help me, Lord. I want to show us something here. Oh. And then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Stop. Now, these were the Jews. The Bible said, back up one verse. It says, Back up on verse. Said, these are the Jews which believed on him. There were few Jews that believed. They believed, they accepted that, you know, he was who he said he was. Amen. But he's now telling them, if you continue my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And he said, Jesus now said, the answer is, we be Abraham's seed. We're the son of Abraham now. Abraham is our father. And we're never in bondage to any man. In other words, you, Jesus, want to put us under bondage. But he was telling them the truth. These are people that believed in him. You don't get it yet. Let me finish, and then we'll get back to that. He says, we were never in bondage to any man. How says there then that we shall be free? And I was like, Abraham's seed, we're already free. And he said, you don't understand. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committed sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever. If the son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Notice again, these are the Jews that believed on him. They were Christians, you could say. Amen. So they said, we're Abraham's seed. We are not in bondage to any man. Don't put us in bondage, Joe. Don't put us in bondage, Joe. Eh? But God was very patient with him. There was a problem, though. Look what he said the problem was. Verse 37. I know. Now, he now backs up. He tries to accommodate them and show them what he's trying. He was not fighting with them. It was them that was fighting with Jesus. The Lord was just speaking the word as it was, as it truly was. He said, I know you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. Now, check this out, verse 38. I speak that which I've seen with my father, and ye do that which you have seen with your father. Notice the connection between speak and do. That's just by the way. If you go back to verse 20, you don't have to go there, but go back to verse 20. You see that what he said is what he did. And what he did, what he spoke was from what was in his heart. There's a change. Let me not get into that. But the essence is that what he was saying was that what you are doing is what you see with your father. What I am doing is what I see my father. And you cannot tell me you're Abraham's seed if you're trying to kill me. Hello, somebody. These were the Jews that believed him. What are we saying? Like today, so many of the seed of Abraham, hallelujah, Christians, you can say Jews. And the Bible says, you know, Jews is one that is inwardly, not outwardly after the flesh. Amen. Who believe on the Lord God, born again, spirit filled, but in whom the word of the Lord, what's that word? The word of the kingdom, the word of perfection and fullness, the word of the spirit without measure that is imminent in Jews, Christians, believers, but that word has no place in them. That word does not find any place to hang in them. They don't receive it. They don't believe it. They believe that God did, but this word of God in particular, they don't believe it. And so what they do is try and kill the prophet, kill the messenger, stone him with slander, persecution, affliction, ostracizing them. But like they failed then, they're going to fail again today. Amen? Because we will believe. We will take that word. The Bible said the stone which the builders rejected has become, say, behold, I lay in Zion a sure stone, a tried stone. He that believeth shall not be ashamed. The stone that the builders rejected has now become the chief of the corner. It's a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense. To them we stumble at the word, being disobedient. You will not be disobedient in Jesus' name. Amen. But Lord, how do we... This is a strange thing. He says, I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do which was seen with your father. Amen. I do nothing of myself. What I see the father do is what I do. Therefore, I speak these things. That's verse 28. Now, the essence is that though the Jesus claimed that Abraham was their father, Jesus would tell them that your actions and your attitudes belie that you say you have a father in Abraham. The father that you are following is not Abraham that is said before you by the scripture, but the father that is in your heart showing you what to do that you follow after is not who you said and say is your father, but who you have a heart connection with that is your real father. And that father Well, let's see what he said. Let's see what he said. So we don't put scripture. It's very important. What is what's in your heart is very important, because the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. From the abundance of heart you speak, Pastor Tulu was saying that. And what you speak is what you're going to do. Because his speech releases the power, heart, mouth, do. So who you see in your heart is important. Who you have a heart connection with determines what direction you're going to go to as far as God is concerned. Yes, well, Pastor Cooney believes me. Am I getting across to people here? Say, so the actions that you betray the fact that they said Abraham was their father, said, it's not who you say is your father. Anybody can profess. Jesus had the same problem. He said, these men worship me with their mouth, but their heart, their inclination of the heart is far from me. No heart connection. We're going somewhere. So, God said, Abraham can't be your father. Because if you see him, you see him by revelation and know that he was subject to God. And he will not try to kill me who's telling you the truth. Folks, what we're trying to say is that, look, if you don't get that sin nature out, you will get it out in Jesus' name. But it's dangerous in this day to harbor sin in the heart. I'm talking about sin in the mind, the will, and emotions, in the physical. You gotta get it out, folks. That was the problem of these Jews that believed. It says, if you serve sin, you're the servant of sin. And sin in that flesh will direct whatever you do, whatever you say, and whatever you do, because unless you get rid of it, you can't even discern the right father. Tight. But right. That's why we don't have a choice. If you're going to walk this walk, this walk of the kingdom. Let's see what he says. Give me John 5:44. This is our Okonkwele one. Oluwa Seun. Thank God. Says 5:44. How? No. This is not. Where is this? Where it says that you have your father, the devil, and his lust you will do. John 8. Sorry, that's it. 5:8. Should be 8. Yes, 8. John 8:44. Let me just finish that. It says verse 41. Go back to verse 41. He says, ye do the deeds of your father. Yes. You do the deeds of your father. They said, we're not born of fornication. We have one father. Even though, now, it was no longer Abraham again. Now they say, God is the, if I say, why don't you? They don't understand. You see? Say, my word has no place for you because you live in sin. If God were your father, you would love him, because I came forth from him. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because you not will not. You cannot. The Apostle Peter was saying, except the things of the truth, the things of the spirit are foolishness. You can't perceive it by natural means. It has to be perceived by the spirit. But so the spiritual man judges all things, but himself is judge of no man. Are we getting something in this? Everybody's silent. Because I'm talking about fathers. Have you submission? God will have mercy. Amen. Oh. Tell everybody, God have mercy on me. Oh. This issue of father and submission, I receive it in Jesus' name. It's a word of the Lord. Hallelujah. The one is that when we're talking father submission and all that, everybody's like... we are getting better. We are completely healed. In Jesus' name. John 8:44. Say, you can't understand me. You can't hear my word. Why? This is the key. Says, you have your father, the devil. He was trying to do it, you know. Say, you have sin, you know. He that is the servant. No, you don't understand. Okay. You have your father, the devil. And the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Sorry. Do you know what that means? That means that if the devil's nature is in you, it blocks out truth. Bible says the God of Israel had blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, the word of the kingdom, should shine on through to them. And unless you get that junk out, that will continue to be blocked. And the degree to which you get out is the degree to which you can receive the truth of the word of the kingdom. So he said, you're about the devil. You're going to do his loss. And he said, Pastor, going to preach this morning, so I'm not going to hit it. But just remind you again, you know, what you, who you say is your father is not who is before you, who you like to be your father. First, we don't have a choice in choosing your father in the first place. So it's not who you look upon or see at the place, you know, that you like. Maybe you saw him on TV. Ah, that's my father. Hey, let's go on. So all this to say that it's what you see or you can discern about your father that you will act upon, whether positive or negative. Amen? And unless you get rid of the sin nature, it will blind you to the truth of your real father. Amen? Apostle Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. It's the father that you imitate, not necessarily the one you set before you. Hello, somebody. Now, sometimes the one you set that is set before you and the one you imitate can be the same. But there's no guarantee that because you set a real father before you, you're going to follow him. Unless you deal with the inside. Yes, hello, somebody. There are many, let me just say this is running. There are many of us who are Jews in this house. They set pastor a moment before them. But many of them are not here again. What happened? Did pastor stop being their father? No. Because they didn't come here by accident. God brought them. No man can come except the Father draw him. Father draws him to their fathers. It's the father that lifts up a standard. It's the father that raises up a standard to people and lifts up his hand. Jesus says, we bring the sons and daughters from near and from far. And he brings them to where he wants to plant them. So God set before them their father. For a while it was okay, but when they see the sin nature, that sin nature will drive you out of the place or position where God has planted you if you don't get rid of it. And you will in Jesus' name. So you see the Father and you do what he does because your will and desire will be subject to his will under the will of God. You and your Father will become one. That's why they wanted to stone Jesus. I am Jesus. They said, I am my Father. One. He was telling the truth. We have the same mind. We have the same judgment. We speak the same things. We have the same language. I only do what I see him do. So we have one. We are one. He wasn't lying. But they say, how can you say you are the same with God? And then he says it. Does not say your word that your gods are of you the Most High? Sons of the Most High? So we have fathers. Now, let me just put a caveat here. We'll continue. But first of all, I want to say that we're not just to follow blindly. Pastor Clay preached that this morning. He said we follow fathers who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Hebrews chapter 6, 12. And Bible says in Hebrews 13, 7, which he read, that said, whose faith follow considering the end of their conversation. In other words, you must rightly discern who is a father you can follow. A father is not just one that can give birth. Hello, my mom was saying the other day, a 16-year-old can give birth, but he's not a father. Now, technically speaking, he's a father, quote unquote, in the natural. But that 16-year-old cannot nurture. He cannot make sure that that child comes into purpose and destiny. So a father exemplifies a righteous, transparent, all these things that Pastor Clay was preaching this morning, I'm not going to go over it, godly lifestyle that you can follow, imitate, to bring you and I into destiny so you can inherit the promise of perfection and the fullness of Christ, your inheritance in Christ. That's it. Bible says house and riches are the inheritance of father. So we cannot inherit without the father. You didn't catch that. To inherit, you must have a father. Bible says a good man leaveth and it... Thank you. That's a good day. When you were preaching this, I was just jumping. My heart was just leaping. I said, whoa, 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 whoa. Amen. Now, let's go and help you, Lord. Are we getting something out of this? Now, let's look at examples of those who have rightly and wrongly discerned their father. Because it's possible, you know. You're not right, wrongly discern, but it's a possibility. And it's dependent on what is, again, it's the heart. If it, folks, let's make our business getting that stuff out. Because somewhere along the line, and I'm talking to you from experience also, you will see something and you say it's not so. They will give you a word and say, Kemiko. Because you see, the amount of truth you can receive is dependent on how much you've been expunged of the sin nature, which is the nature of the liar. Bible says he's the father of lies. When he speaketh, whether he speaks outside you can hear, or he speaks to your heart, he's still talking lie. So when the word of truth comes from the father, you're a proud man. And you say, me, Nobody, my humble self. Nobody has ever told me I'm proud before. How can you tell me I'm? You won't say it. You just say thank you, sir. But you see what's going on? All the inside, all the waters of the heart. What if I see that root? Because you didn't have enough in you to receive that word of truth. I mean, you had, no, I'll rephrase that. You had too much of the sin nature on you to receive that word of truth. Your word of the sin nature that lies to you in your heart, tries to extinguish that word of truth that you will receive and you will, thank you, chokes the word. That will, I need to do something about this. Allow you to see your true situation. I'm talking from experience. I gave you an example on Wednesday. Mommy will give me a word. Pastor G, thank God for you. Yeah. But Elohim, come for pride. Yeah. I said, Mommy, I said, thank you, Ma. Thank you, Ma. Receive that word in Jesus' name. Proud kid. Proud, Ma. I mean, it wasn't, that wasn't what I meant. But that's what you did. Yes, sir. I was just thrilled when he was talking. That's not what I meant, but that's what you did. So if you did it, then what made you do it? Okay, sin that dwelleth in you. Okay, check the sin out. Amen. Accept is a faster road to redemption.
Amen.
Oh. Amen. Excuses. I didn't mean to. You did it. It's not what you meant to do, it's what you did. So if you did it, then sin in you did it. So get rid of the sin and then you won't do it again. But you will try to make excuses. No, pastor doesn't understand. Mommy misread my intentions. Oh, dear God, have mercy on us.
Amen.
Bible says he's the father of lies. When he speaks to your heart, he doesn't tell you the truth. So, like Jesus, you have to make sure that he has nothing in you. So, we're going to look at, help me, Lord. We're going to now look at, let's look at example. One in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Let's start with those who wrongly, this guy is very funny, wrongly discerned or saw their fathers in their heart. Begin in Luke chapter 19. This is the parable of the 10 servants, whom God gave a pound each to. All of them got 1 pound each. One guy came back having won 10 pounds. God gave him inheritance of 10 cities. Another guy came back. He had 5 pounds from his 1 pound. God gave him his inheritance. 5 cities. Now this fellow, I won't say what he is, comes back and instead of trading or instead of working out his salvation with fear and trembling in the kingdom, using that pound and getting a return on his father's investment in him, because it was his father's investment that he used to trade. On his father's investment, instead of getting a return, I'm bringing a return on investment to the master. He said, Master, I know you. Let's read verse 20. Yeah, verse 19, that's it. Whoa. Yeah, verse 19, back up. 19, yeah. Where is it? No, after this verse. Verse 20, I think. After this verse. Yes. And another came. Say, Lord. Still calling him Lord, though. You are my father. Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. Next verse. I won't go into all that. Why? Can you look what he's telling this man? For I feared thee. Perfect love cast out fear. So he wasn't perfected. It wasn't even perfecting. Talk less of perfected. For I fear thee, because thou art an austere man. Now, this is terrible. His father, his Lord, thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest thou that thou did not sow. So, Lenini. Next verse. And he said, now, let me get this. But this is it. Look at this guy. He wrongly, totally. Now, let me ask you a question. How austere, how wicked could a man be that gave him an opportunity? He gave him the same opportunity. He must have seen the deficiencies in him. But because God is good, God is merciful, God is always ready to believe the best. He gave him the same opportunity he gave to all the others. £1 each, go and do. He knew they had different abilities, but it did not stop him from giving him the opportunity. How hard and an austere man can he be? What if God didn't give him the opportunity at all? See, God is a God of faithfulness. He's a God of mercy and compassion. He is a God that believes the best and that he's going to do something with it. But look what he did. He said, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee. You wicked, wicked, cast instruction behind him. That was his problem. Thou knewest I was an austere man, taking up that, but I did not read that. And when I read this, I know there are people like this. Why? What happened to this guy? He had the wrong impression of his father in his heart. And because, at the very least, he could have gotten one city. But he lost everything. No inheritance whatsoever. No measure of the borrowed anointing. No measure. Because he discerned wrongly. He called the man Lord. But he had no heart connection. Why did the other people say that he had an austere man? Because they knew him better. So they went out and they traded and knew they would be pleased and they would give them reward. What is coming is not a gift. It's a reward. Rewarded with 5 cities, 10 cities. He lost his reward and he gave his reward to the guy that had 10. Because he knows they will use it. Mercy, Lord. Wrongly discerning your father can lose your inheritance. Not can, will. Number 2, Gehazi. Everybody laugh and say Gehazi. Gehazi was a very, 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 he was a foolish guy. Sorry, Father, it was foolish actually. Gehazi was how many of you know Gehazi was the batsman, the man whom God set with Elisha to watch over the man and to, you know, minister to the man's needs. Amen. And ordinarily, Gehazi would have been a prime candidate, if not the only candidate, for a double portion of a double portion. Because he was supposed to inherit the anointing upon Elisha, even if he didn't get anything, and if he got double portion, I shall get a call. But you know, God will not just give him that, and then you add his own on top. So I took Jara. So he had the potential of being a mighty prophet after the fashion of Elijah, Elisha, and then he'll be him. Abakum also Gehazi Lenini. With Elijah, Elisha, and Gehazi. Prophets of the Lord. That was the line God set him on. But what happened? There came a time that he should have discerned that there was a problem. See, it's very important to... You see, help me, Lord. When God brings things your way that don't tally with what you profess or what you think you are, and you see something going wrong in your circumstances, don't just hide it away. Don't palliate it. Don't say, nah. You need to examine. It involves, you know, speaking the truth to yourself. A lot of us don't do that. Bible says that as in water, faith answers to faith, so the heart of man answers to man. If you ask your heart what is wrong, it will tell you. Well, one or two people believe that. But most of you don't. You need to do proper heart searching. That's why you know. God will speak to your heart and he will tell you this is wrong. Correct it. And it's when you don't that he now sends the word of the prophet that will hit you. Blast. And instead of now receiving, you now get angry with the prophet. He's just doing the will of God. Hello, somebody. We're talking about discerning fathers. Now, this Elisha, this Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, was sent in 2 Kings 4, chapter 4, verse 29, thereabouts. He was sent with a staff of authority to lay upon the face of a sick child. This Shunammite woman that Elisha was staying with, the child just gave up the ghost and died. And so the woman came around and said, did I tell you I wanted a child? The guy said, Gehazi, take my staff, get this one, take my authority. Take my staff of authority. Take it to where that child is, lay it upon his face, and he will recover. So if you meet anybody, don't say anything. If you salute, you don't ask anybody. Don't waste the anointing. Just take what that's what I've told you, instruction. Anyway, to go a long story short, he goes there, he lays the staff upon the face of the child, nothing happens. That itself was a great warning. Because the word went forth, but when it came to your part, fulfilling your part, nothing happened. The word was cut short. It wasn't because the word had no power. It was because the channel that the word was to pass through to fulfill, there was a problem. Now, when they, of course, the woman who came, she was a wise woman, helping Lord. She said, Oga, as your servant who said, me, I'm not going to let you go until you get up. Maybe she even had to be, you know, women are very discerning. Women see things that we men just overlook. I don't know about him, but this, I'm not leaving this man. He's the prophet I want. So he made the prophet go with her. She made the prophet go with her, and he went. And of course, when he got there, the child was still dead. That says the child was dead. So of course, you know what happened? Elisha went, he locked himself up, prayed and laid upon the child. And you know, the child, but what happened? There was a breach. There was a breach in the heart connection between Elijah and Elisha and Gehazi from Gehazi's side. Like it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. It says, our hearts are enlarged to you. It says, be you also enlarged. So Gehazi's heart was not enlarged towards his spiritual father. It was blocked with what? All that happened and he didn't do anything about it until the leper came. Naaman came from Syria. Is it Syria or Syria? Anyway, the man came, he had the leprosy. We know the story. The man came to Elisha to heal his leprosy. Elisha go jump in the lake and did it 7 times eventually. Amen. And then the man was so grateful, he came and he brought, you know, silver and talents of silver and gold and clothes, and he offered it to the man of God. The man of God said, No. He said, just take your stuff and go. But Gehazi thought his father was too slow. Abba, hey, shall I be there? Say, all over for you. What do I want to give to you now? Abba, all this fasting and prayer, you know. I mean, I just take something small. So he said, this man, let me just leave you. The man is too slow. He doesn't understand. Hello? You don't have a Gehazi spirit in Jesus' name. But you see, that thing, it comes up in diverse ways. The word goes forth. But you have your own thing in your heart you want to do. If you don't, folks, I'm saying you need to get that signature out. Because that's what happened to Gehazi. He heard what the man told the leper, but he refused to accept. So if I know, long story, she followed the guy, collected some of the stuff, and then he came back, tried to deceive the man. You know what he got for his inheritance? Leprosy. Not only him, but all of his descendants after him. Anyone you see in Israel probably... That was a leper of all descended from Gehazi. What are we saying? He wrongly divided and discerned his father. And he lost everything. And not only that, he became a leper. Amen. Positive examples. Because of covetousness. Mercy, Lord. Positive examples. Elisha to Elijah. Elijah was going. And he said, I'm going. Or they, no, they told Elisha that he was going. And he refused to let Elijah out of his sight. He mocked him. Said, as I live and the Lord liveth, I will not leave you. I will not leave you alone. 3 times he said it. 3 times God's over for perfection. Said it. Perfect covenant. You know the relationship between you and your father is like a covenant. It's a covenant. We get that from Ruth. That's the second person I'm going to mention. Ruth and Naomi. Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you. She discerned not just Ruth, but also the God behind Ruth. And made a covenant with that God. In spite of Ruth, who was bitter. And she stuck to it. Regardless of what Ruth did, it didn't matter anymore. She had made that covenant. She held on to her mother. And it was her mother that took her into destiny as being part of the line that brought the Lord Jesus Christ being married to Boaz. What am I saying? It's a covenant, folks. The relationship with the Father is a covenant that lasts all your life long. It's a covenant of honor. You honor your Father. The Bible says, if I be a father, where is my honor? You give your Father honor, not only with your mouth, but more importantly, in the heart. Respect. Bible says, Pastor Kule preached this morning, esteem highly, not just, says very highly, not just highly. Said esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Obedience, obey and submit to them that have the rule over you, Pastor Mary this morning. And then love from the heart, an open heart. Your heart is enlarged towards them, just as their heart is always enlarged towards you. Amen. And all that now begets in return love, covering, blessings. Oh, folks, this is the day of the turning of the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers. Amen. The Bible says, before that great and dreadful day, he's going to turn the hearts. It's important now. This is critical now. Amen. So, this is now. Why is all this happening? I've already said one reason. It's the day that God is turning the hearts. Why is it important and why now? First of all, is what you discern or see by revelation concerning your Father that you will do. Thank God in this house, by his grace, we are rightly seeing our fathers. By his grace, we are seeing Pastor and Mommy no more as Pastor and Mommy. Hello, somebody. Yes, they're Pastor and Mommy. We love them. But they are fathers. You're no more... They are fathers, oh. They are no more wondering what are they preaching. Everybody knows. We've seen the fruit. Not only in their lives, but fruit in your own life too, when you obey what they tell you. So even if nobody else believes, you believe. And as the time goes on, you find out that their influence is already happening, spreading all over the world. Mommy gave a word that day. The pastor is going to be, that God is going to be downloading and spreading the giftings upon pastor, his giftings and his graces. Given to a multiplicity of sons all over the earth, expanding his reach as a father to the nations. Amen. Those of us who accompany with them, we've seen the fruit. Amen. But you see, there's a whole army of Christians out there. A whole army who are fatherless. The Bible says you should not walk in the field of the fatherless. Or those who are being misled or deceived by the fathers that they have chosen. You can't choose your father, folks. You can't choose your fathers. Many of them are not even fathers anyway. They're shepherds. In fact, shepherds like wolves. And God is going to get rid of those shepherds. I'm not going to go there. Ezekiel chapter 34, if you want to go check it out. A father, a spiritual father is not an elderly man with white hair. We're laughing. You'd be surprised at who people call their fathers. It's not because he's been a Christian for a long time. Age has nothing to do with it. Jesus was 30 years old. The Bible calls him the everlasting father. That's why they're fighting. Say, I'm not yet 50. I've seen Abraham. Who do you think you are? They didn't understand. They didn't discern who he was. Like I was saying on Wednesday, I'm like my father in this house. I have no liturgical order. I didn't go to Bible school. I wasn't ordained except, well, I was ordained here one night here. One day by the Spirit. That's what I want. That's it. I have to go and set up a whole ceremony to ordain. Let me not get into that rice and beans stuff. And rice and beans because you want to be ordained. And bring the whole of the Kentucky Fried Chicken to camp. A father is not one that, excuse me, Father, forgive me. A father is not one that has a big ministry. Hello, somebody. We're preaching this word for our house and outside this house. And he has a lot of money to help you start and fund your own ministry. Hallelujah. I've seen people come to the pastor and say, sir, I want you to be my father. You guys say, go to my website. I love my father. Yeah, straight out the front. You want me to go to the website? Well, now you see that, do it. And come back in a year or so. They don't come back home. He always says, we'll see. I want you to be my father. And then he brings a list of, he wants a van, he wants a keyboard, he wants all those things that he used to start ministry. Father, if God calls you, he'll equip you. They don't like that. A spiritual father, I said it so much, it bears repetition. A spiritual father, help me, is not one you choose for yourself. It's God that you can, just the same, you cannot choose the family you came to earth in. You cannot choose your spiritual father. It's God that chooses you and plants you in a place of his choosing. And you can't uproot yourself without dire consequences. Hey, you're not going to get your inheritance. Because it's the father that builds the house that is going to give you for your inheritance. It is his wisdom that builds that house. By, through God, of course. Under the subject. It is his understanding that the house becomes established in purpose. And it's by his knowledge of the witty inventions of the word of God that causes the chambers to be filled with all manner of precious and pleasant riches that fill the house. That when he now decides, he will give you for your inheritance. That's his house and riches are the inheritance of fathers. You cannot add, I was going to say that to you, at the appointed time of the father. Are we getting something from this? Am I getting through to us? Oh. Another one, a father is one whom you give your heart to first. And that's a prerequisite that you must accomplish before being able to see or discern him at all. He says, my son, give me what? Your heart. He said, and then let thine eyes observe my ways. Without laying your heart down and giving your heart to the Father that God has given you. Oh, there's a scripture and it just flashed into my mind. He said, when Jesus was going, leaving the earth, he said, and all these ones that you have given me, I have lost none of them. Which means that those disciples were not, it wasn't a good idea that it was, God gave the disciples to the Lord Jesus. In other words, Jesus owned them. Ah, that's a hard saying. But it's the truth. They were given. God gave the disciples to the Lord Jesus Christ to watch over. He says, of all those you have given me, I said it twice, so it wasn't a mistake. All those you have given me, I have kept none of them. I have lost none of them except the son of perdition and the scripture may be fulfilled. God didn't bring you here as a nice idea. He gave you to pastor and mommy. To Lord, to watch over your soul. But you are given. And you can't just ungive yourself. I'm going to drop a word on the mountains. Oh, Pastor, couldn't you preach this morning? I was going to use Isaiah 32, 1, 2, 3. But you already preached it. It said, them that see, their eyes will not be dim. It talks about kings ruling in righteousness. It says, a man shall be a covering from tempest. A man shall be like a shadow of a rock in a dry. It said, and the eyes of them that see shall not be dim. You've got to see your fathers. And I'm going to drop another word. Give me Isaiah 51. This one, oh, help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Isaiah 51, verse 1. Hearken to me. I hope you're listening. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness. How many follow after righteousness here? All right. Ye that follow after righteousness, that seek the Lord. Now, he says, this is how you follow righteousness. This is how you seek after the Lord. Amen. Thank you. One amen.
Amen.
Come on, folks. This is the plan for seeking the Lord. This is the plan for following after righteousness. Look to the rock whence ye are hewn. Look to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. What is he saying? Next verse. Look unto Abraham, your father, and unto Sarah that bare you. And what he says, I called him alone. One person, two people. One fatherhood, two people. Abraham and Sarah. Says, obey the command of your father, despise not the sayings of your mother. Go hand in hand. Everybody say, if you want to fly, if you want to soar high, you're going to have the two wings, father, mother. Discern right. Now, I know what it says. Look unto. He says it twice there. In verse 1, it says, look unto. And in verse 2, it says, look unto. Those words just leapt out at me. That's an admonition. It's a commandment repeated twice. Look unto. Look unto. What for? Look unto. Abraham and Sarah as an example to follow. Look unto. Abraham and Sarah to examine and to discern. Look unto to give heed to them. Yes. Like the apostles in the temple. Say, look on us. Discern us. Says, I have no gold, but that I have, I give you. And he raised him up by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. By the right hand, we preach it here, by the right hand of intercession. Brought him out of lameness, out of poverty, out of despicable situation. And he lifted him up so that he could now begin to worship and follow after death in the temple. Look unto us. Give heed to them. How about a pastor I'm going to pray for here? They're always praying for us. There are people that have prayed for that. I know my life has been changed. Oh, I wouldn't be here today if not for their prayers. Some of us here today are carrying gifts that God gave us through them. Many of us have seen their prayers at work in our lives. That's because you look unto. Because your heart is connected to them. You honor them. Father is not an old man. Pastor Knoll says it's capacity. What can the capacity of their spirit, not even just singly, but together, when they decide something together, it is done. Selah. When they decide and they say, thus it is, so it is. Look unto. Look unto them for wisdom that is profitable to direct. You know, the Lord gave me a picture, Psalms 123, verse 2. He says that just like the servants look unto their maids, and like the man looks unto his master, you know, for whatever it is. That's how you look unto them. Because you are, I'm not a leruni, but you're a servant. Until the time appointed of the Father. Look unto. This is it. As the eyes of servants look unto the hands of their masters. And the eye. Now, they are not your source. God is the source. But they are the channel of the source of God in your life. Discern. Discern. Look unto them for nourishment, balance in the word, spiritual growth, development support. Look unto them for example, protection, recovery. Why look unto them? Verse 3. Isaiah 51:3. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Why look unto them? For the Lord shall what? Comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. He will make her Zion wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein. Thanksgiving and the voice of melody. That's why you need to look unto Abraham and Sarah. Because it is through them, their spirits, that God will comfort Zion. Comfort ye, my people. Let her know that her warfare is accomplished and her sins are pardoned. Every mountain being brought low, every valley being filled, every crooked place being made straight, that the glory of the Lord may appear for the eyes of all flesh to see it together. Look unto Abraham, look unto Sarah, look unto the rock from which you are hewn. Folks, the time has come. And I said, and the reason why, I'm telling you, the reason why I said, God is a simple message. He said, I said, why is all this necessary? Very simple. The anointing is on the head. Pastor Green said this morning. Psalms 133:1. Behold, how good, how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity, and I add my own addition, under covering. That's what it says. Next verse. It says, it is like, that's really false. It is like the precious ointment. What is that precious? It's not talking about Zoro. It's not talking about Rob. It's not even talking about pomade or modern slimness or whatever they call that thing. You used to use it in those days. Women have this. You think they burn like crazy. It's not, that's not what it's not talking about liniment or anything. It's not talking about pomade. talking about the Spirit, the anointing, the Spirit without measure. He says it comes upon the head. That's the Father, folks. Jesus is the head of the church. But he has appointed heads in each local body of Christ. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, write and say. Unto the angel of the church of Scripture Pastor. I go to Philadelphia. We have an angel. Philadelphia. Amen. We're Philadelphia. Amen. That's right. Prophetically, we're Philadelphia. Unto the angel of the church of Philadelphia, write. These things saith he that hold the seven stars. The angel is here. He's the head of the church. Hello, somebody. Hello. And everything that goes into the church goes through. Including your inheritance. That's why it says obey and submit, because they watch for your souls that they may give a report without grievance. For it's unprofitable to you. So, it comes upon the head of the local body, from the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ. So he once says, you could say the anointing is theirs. He says it's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down the beard. He's talking about spiritual maturity in the head. You don't have a beard if you are 15 years old. You may have one or two strands, but I won't say what I told my son one day. I mean, those days we are so proud. When you have, you know, when you're in secondary school, you have one or two strands, you'll be pulling the meeting longer. Okay, well, what makes you know? I don't even carry a comb in your pocket. You'll be trying. So they know you are going, he's not that kind of beard. We're talking about a full beard that shows maturity. A father who has been tested and tried, bearing in his body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a father. That is a father. That's a father to follow. Has he been through trial and temptation? Has he been tested in all points without sin? Has he gone through the fire and come forth? Has he gone through the water and surfaced? That is his father. The marks were there to prove it. So he's not talking from his head. You know, your head goes on, you hear the Spirit of the Son. You know that he's talking above his head. Because he has no clue what the Spirit is, neither the Son. When the pastor talks about, God said to me. You know, pastor, you know, he doesn't even shout at you. He just comes in and talks to us. I said, Lord, I covered this one day. He just speaks. Who was I sharing with yesterday? In the way we prepared after the prayers. I said, Pastor, did you see pastors? He's not like a man that has volume and volume and volume. He has red ink, he has blue, he has black. Because, you know, there's a difference in word power. Pastor just writes scriptures, one, two scriptures, three scriptures, maybe a word here. And he comes and preaches an entire sermon. And I just be watching. Mommy will sit there. Right next to my very before. And she just put her head like this. And then we say, Pastor Jay, where's that scripture that says, I'm going to go to Daniel? Then she on her iPad, she's just looking. And she comes here and preaches an entire sermon. And I would say, Lord, enjoy my dear. Lord, one day. Fathers, that's a father. Because they're in contact 24/7 with God. But you know the great thing about it? If you let your heart be in contact with this, some of those wonderful things can drop into your heart too. And you will get a word and say, oh my goodness, hallelujah! He said to you, he's of the Father. But you give thanks. Amen. You go, the young shall grow. Amen. Now, so this is it. So, closing now. Let me see. What else is there? Hallelujah. I think I'm surprised everything. Yeah, so, you're doing the principles of Christ's life, which they teach and exemplify, you know, and then like the disciples, like the 70, and like the disciple in Mark 9 that was connected to them at the heart, but was not physically there. God has children in diaspora. I mean, pastor has children in diaspora that maybe haven't even met him physically, but they're following on YouTube, following on his website. We'll be surprised when that day comes. And pastor stands with all his generations behind him. There's some people there that you say, eh? When you see the queue behind, you say, ah! Then you know that indeed. God is great. There's a work that's going on. Let me give that word to pastor. Now return there and close. Help me, Lord. Oh, Lord, have mercy. that God will be putting the anointing and the giftings upon his life, upon a far greater number of his sons. Amen? As it were, reproducing pastor in other men. But for you to partake and I to partake, we the sons must have our hearts turned to our fathers, seeing them as God really sees them. Amen? And guess what, folks? Fathers are real. Pastor Kuhn was preaching one day, said they're 1 in 1,000. 1 in 10,000. Says you have 10,000 instructors, but not many fathers. 1 to 10,000. I love the guy that said something here. And he said, 2,000 cubits must never diminish. It must never be 1,999. Every day, check your heart. How many cubits have you left between you and your father? That's what a person who will not, who will not do anything of himself, but what he sees the Father do. Amen? Now, here we go, as we close. And this is what the Lord told me. He said, the Lord Jesus had no earthly father. Yes, he had an earthly father that brought him, he was in his house when he was brought forth into the earth. You know, his father was God. Joseph was there looking after Mary. It wasn't until after Jesus was born that Mary and Joseph had their children. And, I don't know what happened, but Joseph left early, went to be the Lord early. So really, Lord Jesus had only the Heavenly Father. Which means that for him to see the Father, he had to constantly be in the place of prayer. To discern what the Father says, I do what I see with my Father. You do what you see with your Father. So he had to be in constant, heart communion with God the Father all the time. To be able to hear and obey, to be able to hear and judge and, do what the Father said at any time. That by the grace of God, we do that too. But I bring a proviso. God will not give you your own, except we are first faithful in that which is another man's. So he has given us earthly fathers. Thank God. Human fathers. Fathers we can see. You can touch them. You can. Weren't the disciples blessed when they could touch Jesus? Says that him that we have seen, which we have handled, which our eyes, ears have heard, our eyes have seen, which we have handled of the word of life. Say, for the life that was with the Father was made manifest to us, and we have seen him. That's what God has done through your earthly father. He has brought fatherhood. He has taken fatherhood and put his fatherhood and put it in human fathers that we can see, we can touch, we can hear, we can taste. Why? I ask myself why. I said, because many of us initially were still earthbound. We are still here in the physical realm. And many a time it's important for us to have a physical aspect that we can key our belief into. So instead of being an invisible father in the background, God is not, he doesn't hold on to his bishopric. He's now downloading himself into spiritual, not many, but enough so that one father will cover a massive area. You are the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. And so we now see these fathers. We don't see them as men see them. He's raised them in the body, our pastor was preaching this morning, to deputize for him. Some of them are apostles, pastors, people, their fathers. To deputize for him so that we can discern who they are in God and follow after them. Our submission, our honor of them and obedience to them is counted as being to God the Father himself. So, let me give my own testimony. When I came to, I said, God, I want to serve you. I want to serve you. Okay, relax, son. Okay. You see this man? See this woman? That's Pastor Amomio. See, if you serve them, you're serving me. And I'm in the access. Say, you really want to serve me? Yes, Lord, I want to serve you. Follow them. Anything they tell you to do, just do it. You're serving me. What am I saying? God has made it easier for us. Amen. Give me a scripture on 1 John 4:20. Quickly, we're closing. Help me, Lord. Oh, Lord, are we getting something out of this? If a man say, hello, somebody, let's read it. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. That means that the sin nature is having ascendancy. He's the father of lies when he speaketh. He speaks only lies. Say, for he that loveth not his brother or his father. They are brethren. They are brethren. But they're senior brethren. Very senior. They are not on the same level. But they're brethren. Now Jesus says, call no man your father, that you all are brethren. But he still acknowledges fathers. And he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he say, I love God whom he has not seen? Let's read that again. By the Spirit. You didn't get it. For he that loveth his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God who he has not seen? In other words, to rightly discern God, the Father, you must first of all discern the brother that you can see physically. Follow him, and then he will lead you to God. And it's until you're willing to do that, that God will now begin to download upon you your own. Because you must first be faithful in that which is another man before God will give you your own. You cannot bypass that faithfulness. Your dreams are made by working upon the dreams of your father. No other way. No other way. So, finally, number one, submit. Follow and imitate the example. Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. It's a test of our humility. Don't be afraid to learn from and copy godly example. Two, obey the instruction. Very, very important. Take fast hold of instruction. The Bible says, she is thy life. People don't like instruction because instruction tells you what you are doing is wrong and this is the right thing to do. The Bible says that it's very grievous. Correction is grievous. That's a sin nature. That's why it's grievous. It's a sin nature. The Bible says that the person who is rebuked begins to get more wisdom if he accepts it. I can't remember the exact phrase, but the essence is that the person that is rebuked gets wisdom if he accepts it. The righteous smiting shall be an excellent order. Thank you, Pastor Kunle. And do it the way they said do it. The way they practice it and it has borne fruit in their lives, that's how we have to do it. Don't do it your own way. That's Babylon. Number three. Love. Now, you don't have to be perfect immediately. Let me put that proviso, but you must be practicing diligently and daily. Amen. Number three, honor. Love, honor, and reverence them in your heart. Amen. Esteem them very highly in your heart for their love's sake. Amen. We will also quote the 2 Corinthians chapter 6, be also enlarged in your heart towards them. Don't allow anything to constrict. Once you see that thing happen, you need to go and redress it immediately. When you see pastor coming or mommy coming, you try to go the other way. Don't say, well, I'm afraid sorry, you're saying, come back. Well, those are telltale signs. Why didn't you greet her? Why didn't you go towards her instead of away? Go to her and say, mommy, you're blessed. You're looking lovely today. How are you? Oh, good afternoon, sir. Hello? Everybody's silent for me today. Anyway. Alright, honor them, reverence them in heart. Have your heart enlarged with them. Then you communicate with them. That doesn't mean you call them up in the morning and say, hello, pastor. Galatians 6:6 says you share in all good things. Basically pay your tithe and offerings. So there'll be meat in the house. So you won't have to worry about stuff. You can set their wills and their minds to the word of God and prayer. That's what. So you free them for all these financial concerns and stuff. By paying your tithe and offering. Of course, you can also give to them personally. That's also good. Just that, you know, they've misused that thing. You know, you want to key into the anointing. Anointing for what? Is it anointing of the Lord upon you or anointing for covetousness? You know what I prefer? Just put it in the basket anonymously. Just put it there. Don't go and give it to me. Put it in the basket. Put the name on it, Pastor Lee Johnson. I'm sorry, Johnson. You don't have to say it's you that put it there. People like to know that, you know, I'm the one that gave it. My humble self. Don't put your name there. Okay, all right. Maybe it's your check. Okay, fine. I don't know. But you know what I believe? Bible says, let not your right, when you do alms, let not your right know what your left is doing. I prefer that. If I want to give this all, I'll put it in the basket. I did better. Okay. All right. You don't believe me. Okay. You know, we like that drum major instinct. Leading the parade. Awala wambe. Alangbe wonru Oloni. Then you pray for them. They covered prayer. Amen. Don't ever neglect that prayer. Thank God we have a regimen, you know, a standard time where we pray for our fathers in this house. Never miss it. You're praying for yourself. It is you that is going to live a peaceable and quiet life in godliness if it is well with them. And it will be well with them. Amen. Pray for them. And you have far more than you see physically. You must look with spiritual eyes, not as carnal. Amen. Last thing. If you can have direct interaction with them, go for it. But not everybody can do that. But I can say from my own personal example that since from below, sometime below flat, I've been going to pastor's house. I'm still going. And I will continue to go until Jesus comes. My family will not be where we are today if not for that association. So I want to encourage you, if you can, it's hard to mentor far off. But at the same time, it's not possible for everybody to be. So if you can take that advantage, please do. You know, I know Pastor gets emails from all over the world. All over the world, he has sons. That's part of the fellowship. So if you can take advantage of it, but at the very least, make sure your heart is in connection. Examine that 2,000 cubits every single day. Heart of reverence, a heart of love, a heart of appreciation and gratitude, all these things, and pray for them. And then the anointing from above will fall from the head of the church to the head, the angel of the church, and then to you, down to the skirts of his garment. It's a glorious time. This is the season of the full measure. Key in by discerning your Father in Jesus' name. Let's pray. To God be the glory. This is God. No, please. Let's just talk to the Lord. Let's talk to the Lord. It's God that doeth. How much? We're a little late today, but I believe it's been worthwhile. I speak to the Lord and ask. I'm reminded of, the time has come, really, truly, for God to preach this twice in one day. I didn't know this was what Pastor Clement was going to talk about. This was a message I was supposed to be for last week. I scribbled it down when I was in Abuja, but I didn't know I was not going to deliver it. And now look what God has done. By the Spirit. I didn't plan it. Even Pastor didn't plan it. But I believe God is giving a word for us here and then also for the body of Christ. The time has come. Discern your fathers. Align your wills. Align your heart with theirs. Look unto Abraham and Sarah. That's basically it. Because God is about to comfort Zion by the Spirit without measure when the day has come. Reminds me of 1 Chronicles chapter 12. We're talking about David. Said many came with perfect hearts to make David king. Said their hearts were knit together, the heart of David. We're in that particular season now. That's where we are. Discern fathers. Give them your whole heart, your honor. And as you honor them, you also honor God. And God will move in your life and mine. In Jesus' name. This is my heart's desire. To honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. All I have within me, I give. respond to the word that has come today. And this time we're putting our hands upon our eyes. The Bible says, anoint our eyes with eyesight that thou mayest see. We anoint our, put our hands on our eyes and raise our hand up unto the Lord, asking for great mercy upon us, to give our hearts unto God through our fathers. My son, the Bible says, give me your heart, and then let thine eyes observe my ways. Let's pray. Say, Father, we confess our sins, and so we agree with the blood. In Jesus' name we have life. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word that has come today, giving me a fresh understanding of the discerning of spiritual fathers. I understand that I am to give my heart unto my spiritual fathers, whom you have chosen and placed over me, even unto Abraham and Sarah, the rock from whence I am here. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for you will help me by the blood, by the word, and by the spirit, to expunge from my heart, my mind, my will and emotions, and my flesh, every last vestige of the sin nature that is blocking the eyes of my understanding from seeing who my fathers are and seeing them not as human but as those whom you have set over me in God. Knowing that as I do this, by your mercy and grace, I will position myself so in this season of the outpouring of the Spirit without measure, I will be perfectly placed to have the anointing from the head. Lord, work in my life as a borrowed anointing. I say, Lord, go by your mercy and grace. I choose to give my heart to my spiritual fathers and to follow the example. I give them my heart so that my eyes will observe their ways, so I'll follow them in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for helping me to obey their instruction. I will no more cast instruction behind me, but I take fast hold of instruction, knowing that she is my life. And I choose by your mercy and grace to discern rightly my fathers, honoring them, loving them, causing my heart to be enlarged towards them, reverencing them in my heart, esteeming them very highly in love for their works of sake. I also thank you that you help me to communicate with them, to share with them in all good things, to discern by wisdom, Lord God, and pray for them even according to your word. I say thank you. As I do this, you will cause my heart and the hearts of my fathers to be knit together as one, so my life and the inheritance you have prepared for me will be mine in this season of your manifestation, of a manifestation of your glory in your church. I thank you, Father, because you will do for me exceeding abundantly above all I can ask or can imagine. In Jesus' name.